JSF
is an adventure like a ride in a hot air balloon. Exciting, unpredictable, and full of the unexpected. Your support makes it all possible. Help keep the adventure going and flying high with a donation right now to Fund Drive 2025 at cjsffunddrive.ca or by texting the word donate to 778-782-2573 to get a donation link. It's all because of you that we can rise higher and reach further.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning. That's right. You're listening to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. I'm Jesse, the programming coordinator at CJSF, and I don't usually host Intravenous, and it's actually been sort of between hosts for the last little bit since our previous programming coordinator, Robin, stepped away. And then after that, our champion public affairs intern, Rebecca, finished her internship and headed back across the pond to Loughborough in the UK. Nevertheless, we've kept the show going and are in the process of adding some new people to host and co-host, and it'll be reborn anew soon enough. And in the meantime, we've been playing a whole bunch of great archived episodes by Rebecca, by Robin, by all sorts of people involved here at CJSF. And today is the Fun Drive episode of Intravenous, which historically has been a bit of a look back at previous episodes and the previous great work that this show does in bringing the voices of women and non-gender conforming folks to the forefront and tackling issues through a feminist and gender-based lens. So we're going to keep doing that today as CJSF's Fun Drive aims to raise $10,000 to support campus community radio, to support underrepresented voices on the radio. And we're going to do that, as I said, by playing some clips from some great Intravenous shows over the last year to remind you of why it's important that you contribute. You make a donation at cjsffunddrive.ca or by calling 778-782-2573 or by texting the word donate to the same number, 778-782-2573. So we're going to get started with a little bit of last year's Fun Drive show featuring Robin and Rebecca, the two aforementioned hosts over the last year or so of this program, just talking about why you should donate and why campus community radio is important. So without ado, further ado, any ado, I guess, we'll let Robin take it away.
So, Rebecca, this is your first Fun Drive experience, and you've been kind of, you know, thrown into the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had quite a lot of fun of just going through past episodes that I wasn't even in the country when they happened and listening through them all. And I think it's so clear with the clips that we're going to show you of just the breadth that the station has to offer, and not just like in Intravenous, but across all the programming. You don't get that anywhere else. Like, mainstream radio, I sometimes find, is very narrow in that it's a lot of it is like it's giving you the news and the updates as they get them, which is important as well. But here you're getting to have all of these discussions across topics that don't reach like mainstream ears of the day-to-day. We get to have such cool and interesting conversations, and you get to learn a lot. I've learned so much in my time here just from being on the radio for an hour and talking to people about a topic that I didn't know 2 days before, and I'm like, okay, let's get into it. And I think it's one of the most amazing things that I've got to experience. And also just listening back to the past shows that you've done that I, as I said, wasn't here for, and wouldn't have even thought of that as a topic. Like, we're gonna show clips from the cartoonist episode, and I would never have even thought about that being a topic to discuss on the radio, about female cartoonists and graphic novels. And yeah, I think it's particularly about Intravenous, having that space as a female space, looking through an not just I would say white woman's lens, but an intersectional feminist lens, just adds to the uniqueness of CJSF. And having that space that you're not going to find really anywhere else is incredibly cool to be a part of. So yeah, it's very exciting.
And for me, it's really exciting to, you know, have someone sort of with an outside lens be able to see and you know, express what it means to them to hear the content that we produce on the radio. Not that I'm jaded, but you know, you kind of do what you do, and you know that there's impact in certain ways. But you know, when we were having conversations about the clips that you were listening to, the impact that you heard or felt about the episodes was similar but also different than the impact that I felt like those shows had. And so that was really neat to me. And and I'm excited to share some of the stuff that that we've got. So you know, you talked about the cartoon episode, and let's talk a little bit more about that and play the clip.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say with the cartoon episode, one main thing that I really took from it, and I think is seen really well through the selection of like little bits that I took out, is that they talk about global issues that everyone knows about that's going on in the world. This hard hitting, it's your mainstream news, I guess. And they put it in a format where it's easily understood, and it's a unique format that you wouldn't think of. You wouldn't think of, I know they talk about this, but like putting genocide as a topic in a graphic novel, like those are such polarizing ideas to me, but it works. And when I came here, I know one thing that I said that I really wanted to get out of being a part of CJSF was looking at getting topics like that in an understandable format for young people. Particularly, I have a vested interest in politics, and I know a lot of young people struggle with getting into politics or really wanting to be involved in it, because it's...
Why bother?
It's so complicated. And I was like, I really want to find a way of doing that in a format that gets people... That's like, it's easy to listen to. I can understand it. And I think that's what you get here. It's not always just sat talking, like spitting facts of like what's going on in the world that's like devastating. We have conversations about it. We are open to all opinions, and it's a very informal setting, which I think is amazing. And I think you really get that from the cartoon episode, is them putting this serious topic, and you get the severity of the topic, but you put it in a format where it's informal and easily understood. And I think you really get that from that episode. And it was also a way of incorporating all voices. They speak about different projects that they're doing, and they want to include everyone that wants to be involved that is directly affected by it. They have a project on the Indigenous residential schools, and they were getting survivors to be involved in it. And what they found was that the survivors were actually remembering things that they'd blocked out just by talking and being involved with this project. And I'd like to think that that's almost something that we can do with the radio, is talking about different topics to kind of unlock something in people that you don't think. I know I've had like my mind blown open a couple times sat here and talking to people. So I think that's a cool parallel with the cartoon episode and just intravenous and the raid and CJSF as a whole.
Right, because we can't exist as a microcosm without the macrocosm, right? You know, intravenous exists within the platform of CJSF. And so I urge you that if any time you've had the radio on and it's blown your mind in some way, shape, or form, to consider donating $35 at the very minimum. And as I said, you know, the sky's the limit. One of the pledge levels that I love is the 90.1, just because it's fun and it's our frequency. But it really starts to, you know, kind of amp up the dollars that we need to see to continue to just be a small business in an inflating world. So once again, the website to donate is cjsffundrive.ca, and you can text donate to this number, 778-782-2573.
Welcome back to this Fund Drive episode of Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. As Robin said, $90.10 is a fun amount to donate, but this year we've also got a fun incentive where you can get a beautiful limited edition print of our Fund Drive banner designed by local artist Charlotte Cho if you make a donation of $90.10 or more. So head to cjsffundrive.ca to see that art and to make a pledge to donate to support campus community radio here at SFU in Burnaby. Up next, well, we're going to check in with an annual tradition here at CJSF, which is our coverage of the 16 Days of Activism to End Gender-Based Violence, which happens every year at the end of November and beginning of December. And without fail, Intravenous puts together a show that includes a wide array of perspectives to commemorate the École Polytechnique tragedy and to talk about the state of gender-based violence and the fight against gender-based violence, which unfortunately is ongoing. Last year's episode featured a discussion with Robin and Rebecca and Senya, who is by now a well-entrenched volunteer within the Public Affairs Department, but back then was just getting started. So here we go.
We're going to focus today on the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and it all that name always kind of hooks me up because it's so long. But this year is, I don't want to say this year is kind of important, because every year that it happens, it's an important one. And the UN Secretary General of the Unite campaign wants to draw attention to the alarming escalation of violence against women under the theme, every 10 minutes a woman is killed, hashtag no excuse, unite to end violence against women. And I was just reading earlier that in 2022, it was the highest number of women killed in over two decades from gender-based violence, and that number was 89,000. And last year, that number increased. So for 2023, that number increased. And it's probably in the report that was just released on femicides in 2023, global estimates of female intimate partner family member homicides, which I don't have a copy of in front of me, but regardless, those are terrible and shocking numbers. And when we think about what it means, I guess, to, you know, experience that culmination of violence, you know, like to ultimately end up murdered by your spouse or your partner or, you know, someone that you intimately know, there's an escalation of violence that has occurred. It's probably not just I'm mad at you and, you know, therefore I'm going to do X, Y, Z. It's a process or a progression of various kinds of violence, various sorts of violence that can look anything like physical or emotional forms. It can include things as, and again, I don't want to say as simple as, but as simple as name calling and hitting, punching, blocking, stalking, criminal harassment, rape, sexual assault, control, and manipulation. And, you know, even within those, I think there's a particular nuance to each of those actions that we as the experiencer, the victim of what those are, you know, might give a little bit more definition to, or, you know, describe them in different ways, but it's pretty encompassing is my point.
Yeah, I mean, I think one, like, very key thing about the 16 days of activism is giving awareness to that definition and sort of educating that it's not just physical violence, which is what you would assume. It's everything around the physical violence. And like you said, it's a progression. It's not just a one time you were mad and you did something. It's a progressive thing that happens. And I find it really interesting that the numbers are increasing from like the past 2 years when we're post COVID. And I think that's definitely something that should be looked into, is that did COVID create an environment that sort of let the violence kind of foster and bring about, since we were all kept in our homes, kept with people, you had no kind of escape if you were just starting out to experience violence and you didn't even realize that you were experiencing domestic abuse. Say your partner name called you one time and it's in the pandemic, and then it just built up because you're locked together, basically. There's no way of getting out of it. And I don't actually know what the statistics are during COVID, and I think it would be interesting to find out if it was increasing throughout COVID or has only been increasing as a aftermath of COVID in the deaths. But I think that theme that the campaign is running on this year with the every 10 minutes, it's such a shocking statistic to know that throughout this episode, 6 women are going to have died. Just throughout this episode with that statistic. And it's so shocking to think that that's happening. And most people probably would have no idea to think about the statistic or think like that. They'd think, oh, it happened maybe like one a day or maybe something like that. But not that like every 10 minutes. It's very, very, I don't even have a word to describe it. Every word doesn't seem to have the big enough impact,
right,
on what it feels.
Senia, you're new to Intravenous and sort of joining us where we're throwing you into the mix of conversation. Mm-hmm. I know that this idea is quite a passionate thing for you. As a criminology student, do you have some thoughts about what this means, or you know, how it's landing?
I think it's a pretty serious issue. Like, for example, with the whole election in the United States that happened, there has been an increasing threat of sexual violence towards women in America. And we are noticing this movement called the 4B movement, which is kind of like where women are rejecting men altogether, basically. they're like saying that they're not going to date, they're not going to go like do anything because of this threat that is currently arising, especially during Trump's election, because we've seen like a rise of sexual assault threats towards women.
I think I read about this, about women sort of boycotting everything to do with it, in relation with abortion and stuff.
Abortion too, because, you know, it's kind of ridiculous that they're wanting to ban abortion because, you know, they want to control their bodies and tell women what they should and shouldn't do with it, which is, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like, if I can't get an abortion, why would I put myself in the position that could potentially put me in a scenario where I might need one? So may as well just boycott it if you voted for that policy.
And also, the women who voted for Trump is also kind of a question to me personally. Like, why?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that sense of unity that's happening in the States because of the election fits really well with what the 16 days is looking at versus, like, in their theme. And I know, I'm not sure if it's the 16 days theme globally or if it's just in Canada, but they have a phrase of come together, act now, along with the hashtag no excuses slogan, which we briefly spoke about last week. And I was looking at how that kind of relates to the 16 days, and I found something interesting about how they say the 16 days is an opportunity to revitalize commitments, call for accountability and action from decision makers. And I think that theme of come together, act now perfectly encompasses that, as well as what's going on in the US, where women are banding together, they are uniting, and they're calling for change and being like, we're not just going to sit by and let you take away all of our rights to our body autonomy and just like sit back and go back to 1950s where we were all objects of possession to men.
No,
like, they're not just going to sit here and let it happen. And I think the hashtag no excuses, just, I said it last week, I was like, it perfectly just fits together with that theme of summing up how women are feeling and uniting women globally.
And another thing I would like to add is that, like, it's not really just in the States, it's in any country, really. Like, if you look at Afghanistan, women there are being banned from speaking. Like, literally, they're not allowed to speak because their voices might tempt men, which is ridiculous. It's absurd that this is happening in the 21st century. And in other countries where domestic violence is just, like, normalized and the police just doesn't do anything about it, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say that it's all well and fine that we're calling for policy change in, you know, come together, act now. But, you know, as you know, we've talked about how if we're creating policy based on the lens of a society that still supports a patriarchal structure, which is, you know, kind of bedrocked on a lot of rape culture, then we're not creating policy that actually keeps women and girls and non-binary, gender fluid people safe, you know, because there's this rhetoric in the underlying that even though it's written into policy, that belief system and that value system of where you see and clarify where the value is in humanity still is in question or brought into question. And so I'm all supportive of this, you know, come together, act now. But holy smokes, there's always been a point where change never happens from the top down. Mm. You know, it does happen in this grassroots way where women are banding together and saying, like, enough is enough. We're going to, you know, hide in back corners and we're going to, you know, stew up some kind of a plan and hopefully turn this big yacht around in order to create safety for our mothers and daughters and sisters and you know, fellow folks that are experiencing gender-based violence. Because it is not just women, although they are the more likely to experience gender-based violence. It's certainly not as simple as that, but you can rest assured that 89,000 men weren't killed by their intimate female partner or wife in 2022 in the same way, right? And so that's where we see the problems, is just the inequity in terms of violence. And there shouldn't be any, like, let's face it, no excuse. There should not be any. Mm-hmm. Just nods all around. Nods all around here in the station.
CJSF is an adventure, like a ride in a hot air balloon. Exciting, unpredictable, and full of the unexpected. Your support makes it all possible. Help keep the adventure going and flying high with a donation right now to Fund Drive 2025 at cjsffunddrive.ca or by texting the word donate to 778-782-2573 to get the donation link. It is because of you that we can rise higher and reach further.
Welcome back to Intravenous, the Fun Drive edition here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You can make your support for platforming the voices of women and gender diverse people here at CJSF by going to cjsffunddrive.ca and making a donation there, or you can text the word donate to 778-782-2573 or call that number 778-782-2573. Talk to a real person who will take your pledge. One of the great things about Intravenous and, well, campus community radio in general is how we give newcomers to radio the opportunity to just jump in and do it and talk to people that they think are interesting and share their stories with you. And that's what we're going to hear next, a clip from November of last year where Salo did an interview with Dr. Hirme about healthy relationships. So we'll jump right into that and then we'll be back. Once again, donate at cjsffunddrive.ca.
Hello, we're back at Intravenous. I'm Salo, and we are doing an interview with Jyothika Girma today. So we're talking about healthy relationships, singlehood, and I think now, it's like, since we talk so much about like singlehood, I also wanted to talk about maintaining the relationship. And you were saying that the idea of putting relationships on a pedestal too. So I wanted to like move a little bit in the how like the healthy relationships and keeping the idea of psychology too. And as I said before, I'm a strong believer that you cannot enter a relationship if you're not like psychologically ready to enter one. I think like working on ourselves and investing time in understanding who we are, what we like, what we want in life is key to have a healthy relationship. So what idea should we have before diving into one? How can we kind of prepare ourselves to meet people, like get out there, or maybe like enter a romantic relationship?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. And I think it's important for people to sort of ask themselves why they think they are ready for a relationship or want a relationship. Because I often think that people, like, they think that they have to be in a relationship and they maybe rush into relationships. But, you know, that, as we sort of talked about with the sort of idea of relationship pedestal beliefs, it might leave people in a bit of a tough spot because they're not necessarily in the right relationship. They've sort of gotten into a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship rather than because they're with a partner or partners that they really like or love. So being really clear, I think, about, you know, your reason to